Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is the first of what I hope will become a regular series, America's Most Unwanted. Most people know little about the world of bail bonds and bail bondsmen and how they work. I'm sure that many people have watched the adventures of Dog Chapman on cable TV, but I'll tell you what, I'm not convinced it reflects real life. To aid me on the quest for knowledge, I'm joined by veteran bail bond recovery agent. Oh, I think that's the official name for bounty hunters, William Cobra Storbs. Cobra, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you for having me.
And also joining us this week is Matthew Todd. Matthew, you're a recovery agent as well?
Yes, I am, Simon.
Do you have a cute nickname like Viper or Gator?
That's funny that you even said Viper, because that's what I was hoping Cobra would call me, but no, I'm not as cool as he is.
Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
There is little doubt that Roland Tony Joseph, a.k.a. Messi, is one of America's most unwanted. I have a soft spot for Roland, though. And the guy is as dumb as a stump. I don't even know where to start the story. And Cobra, would you like to give us some background on Messi?
Messi, just Messi. I received a call from the general agent, Rod Dawson, from Surety 3. He called me up and he says, Cobra, I've got this guy that I need you to catch. I've got 3 days and I've got to pay the bond. I said, all right, send me over a file. He said, better yet, just meet the bondsman in Fort Pierce. He'll give you a file on the guy. So I go there, and I find the guy, and I figure he's a typical Haitian guy, and it's all good. And then they start showing me things that he's posted on Facebook. And then I come across this site, Messy Gets Messy. And now I don't know who I'm chasing, whether I'm chasing a dude or a female or both or what. If any of you have been to the Messy Just Messy site, he's a character with a capital C. he had missed court, failure to appear about four different times, and four different times he had gotten out, and of course this time he wasn't going to go. He was actually out on two bonds at the same time from two different bail bondsmen, which is not allowed in Fort Pierce, St. Lucie County. So they revoked his bond and put the bondsman on notice that they revoked it. And, of course, he didn't show for either bondsman's court hearings. And he went on the lam, and then they started hiding him out. Of course, he has about 7,000 Facebook friends. And in the area, he would move probably about 60 to 100 miles any given day. So he turned to be very, very difficult and elusive. Very elusive.
Elusive. That's a good word. Maybe it was the heavy disguise that he loves to use.
Yes. Yeah. He was. I couldn't ever figure out if it was shaving cream, clown's paint, or some kind of foam, or. When I first saw him, I thought he was a rabid dog. I said, what the hell is going on with this fella? He's foaming at the mouth.
They definitely not all there, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, my investigative company is case closed, and my bail recovery agency is Lightning Strike Force, and that's why I called Mr. Todd, because he's got a company called Elusive Investigations, and I said, that's exactly who we need, somebody that knows something about this elusiveness.
Yes, sir.
So, Matthew, tell me how you started on this quest for heavy disguise.
Well, I saw Cobra was looking for this fugitive, and from his understanding, he was in my neck of the woods. So he got a tip that he could possibly be in this vehicle and at this residence, so I went over there and you know, did a spot check, and I was like, you know, oh wow, there's the car. Okay, so I called Cobra. I said, what do you want me to do? Because I located the vehicle. He said, just sit tight, keep eyes on it, and see what happens. So approximately 2.5 hours go by, and a vehicle pulls up. Two males get out, one fitting our description of our subject. I'm like, well, okay. Let me call Cobra and find out what he wants me to do. So he's like, well, try to get a hold of the local authorities and see if you can take him down with their help. Okay, I did so. With no avail, neither one, the local authorities or the sheriff's department were available at that time. So I'm like, right now I got my subject inside the house, and I have no one to help. So Cobra, being on the other side of the coast, gets on the phone and starts preparing a team, and I'm gonna let him take it from there.
Yeah, what ended up happening is we had hit this very address early on, about 2 weeks earlier, and of course we had good intel that he was in the house, and when we got to the house, of course they would not open the doors. And we contacted law enforcement to come out there and join us because this is one of his boys. And the people inside the house called 911 and kept hanging up. They kept calling them, kept hanging up, kept calling them, kept hanging up. Well, that gave us, and we were watching in the windows, and we saw two males running through the house. So by the time we got permission, so to speak, from law enforcement, somebody needs to make entry into this house to see what's going on. Our guy apparently was there and got away, but they had convinced us so well that he was never there. So we had just got done repairing their door, because I blew the door off the hinges. So it tore out the door frame, half the wall, and everything else. So we sent our repair guys over there, apologized to them, paid them take care of all this mess and fix it all up and apologized, and everybody was all right. And, you know, they admitted that he had been there and he was not there now, and I figured they let him get out the window. So much to my surprise, and I didn't know it was the same house when Todd sat down on it, and so I called one of the deputies, and Todd had called him, and we were trying to get, because there were so many places that this guy could go to, and what they were doing, they were throwing us off by posting different things on Facebook. Facebook's a great tool, and it ended up part and partially catching the guy, but they kept giving information that he was here, there, and everywhere. So I had like 8 different bases to cover, and it was difficult covering them all. And I ran really, really low on sleep. This had been a long-winded 2.5-week investigation. And, you know, staying out at clubs till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and then working all day long, you don't get much sleep. So I'm on the other side of the coast when Todd tells me I see a guy, caught him on video, looks like your guy. So now we're trying to get law enforcement, who we thought wanted this guy extremely bad. However, law enforcement were tied up, so we couldn't get them to come to assist Todd. So what ended up happening is I started right from scratch right there and built a 5-man team from different parts of Florida and moved them into position. None of these guys had ever worked with each other. All the guys total don't have 10 years in the industry. All of them total don't have 50 arrests. So I've got a real grassroots crew of you know, some people would call misfits. But I'll tell you what, these guys came together like a fine-tuned machine, and, of course, they hit the house. And Ra-Ra, who we call him Ra-Ra on the street, we call him Messi on the TV and radio, but Ra-Ra claims he ain't Ra-Ra. So the agent that was escorting him out of the bedroom didn't have him in handcuffs. And one of the other agents who knew him face on said, that's him, hook him up. So at this point, Ra-Ra tries to run back in the bedroom to get his identification, but he's really going for his firearm. He's gonna go ahead and blast his way up out of there. But thanks to Todd and some quick thinking of the other guys that were there, he ended up submitting without further ado. Of course, the guy in the house wanted to play hero, and there was a sensei standing in the doorway. These guys are very well-trained. I mean, Todd, most of these guys were young at this business, but they've been a long time in the fighting world, and they know how to fight. So all the way to the jail, after he tries to escape and everything else, and they're trying to, you know, make 100% sure positive ID on the guy with his tattoos and everything else, because he keeps saying he's not Ra-Ra. And he looks like he's going through some kind of change into a woman. He had man titties, for God's sakes. And as they're transporting him to the jail, he is on his cell phone, and he's called no less than 20 females, and he claimed they were all his baby mamas. In fact, he was 2 days from one of his women giving birth. Now, I have met 5 or 6 of his baby mamas with his children, and I said, man, how is this guy going to remember? And he's telling them all to put minutes on their phone so he can call them from the jail. You know, you got to put minutes on your phone for that business. So how he keeps them all straight, I have no idea. But I can't figure out if he was turning into a woman, or whether he was using that because women love it. Women were just loving this guy. I mean, he would be posting and getting about 200 friend requests a day. I mean, this guy was just moving and grooving, man.
Yeah, how we ID'd him was on his chest is a tattoo lettering, born a star.
Yeah. And see, at one given time, we had upwards of 15 agents, you know, assembled to get him because he had claimed to be with these different clubs, you know, the Red Club, the Blue Club, this gang, that gang, all these different gangs. And some of these guys were prepared to defend him right on out to the last bullet. And so at one point in time, we had him. Then they started posting on Facebook that the U.S. Marshals was moving on him. So at that point, we toned back our forces because once the U.S. Marshals adopt the case, we didn't want to get in their way if they're going to run on him and get him. And a SWAT team had hit a house and just missed him by moments just a few days earlier than that. So I had already scaled back to damn near skeleton crew of guys, nothing. And at the last moment, we found out that the U.S. Marshals did not adopt the case. They were not actively seeking him. And if he crossed paths with them, of course, they'd take him. Now, the day before, one of the vice guys from Drug Task Force went out with the guy, basically stopped him, talked to him, checked him for dope. And why he didn't trigger the radar at that point, because he had so many different disguises, and he actually slipped right through the guy's fingers and, of course, really made him mad. So it ended up that particular night, last Saturday night at this gentleman's house, that the police called me and different agents and said, listen, if we get one more call, we're coming down there and arrest all y'all. I said, you'll come and arrest us, but you ain't going to arrest this knucklehead. That don't make no damn sense. You know, so the police were getting upset that they were getting so many calls from, you know, people about this guy that they started blaming us for it. So it was a difficult case. And, of course, the main part that I left out, since we assembled a team and we had our general agent was actually out hunting. Rod himself, the general agent for Surety 3, was out hunting this guy himself. In fact, he backed me up on a couple of houses, and general agents don't do that. They just They just flat don't do that. But this Palmetto Insurance Company is a great company to work for. And so he was out backing us up. And we had found out he was running a counter operation alongside of my operation and found out that one of the bondsmen wanted to date one of Ra-Ra's girls. And so in order to get in her good graces, he was telling her what our next moves were so hopefully he could get a date with her later on after the smoke cleared. So every time we got ready to get real close to Ra-Ra, he was gone. And the reason he was gone is because of this one defective bondsman out there. I don't know what the hell he was thinking, but, you know, he's got some moral turpitude issues, you know what I mean?
Oh, indeed. I'll tell you what. Why don't we listen to Ra-Ra? I just happened to have a recording. I snagged it.
Let me make a disclaimer first. Don't send the Secret Service after me. I didn't do it.
Right, but I have to admit, when I saw this YouTube video, I just laughed, and unfortunately, radio isn't a great media for pictures. If you can imagine a guy with looks like shaving cream as lipstick. He's most definitely black. Anyway, here we go.
Hello? No, listen. Do you want to lose your job? Now listen. Put him on the phone, bitch. Hey, how you doing? It's not hard to get in touch with you, boy.
Oh, technical issue. Let's do this again.
You got some damn technical issues down there, buddy.
Yeah,
boy, you're going to lose your job.
And technical issues, unfortunately, do happen. Well, let me see if I can rectify the problem. But to give some background, this was one of Ra-Ra's last Facebook extravaganzas, where he is supposedly talking to President Obama. It really is quite fun. Yeah.
He's claiming that President Obama met him at a club and he was now 19 hours pregnant by Obama.
Yes, indeed. Damn it for
It's not hard to get in touch with you, boy. Anyways, I'm calling you, cause Obama, please, Mr. President, do not fucking play with me. Yes, at the party, at the club, yes, you nutted in me, And you told me you had 10 kids, them 2 kids from Michelle, and that's your only kid. Do you want me to tell her that? Exactly. Now listen. I'm pregnant. You were drinking. How do you know? You know you did not put no condom on. No, you did not. Anyway, I'm pregnant. Yes. Because soon as I left you, I threw up and I came home. And I know I'm pregnant, so it don't matter. Really, bitch? Listen, I'm not asking for money. I'm going to ask you for a little bit, sir. Listen, if you want me to keep this from Michelle, yes, your wife, just do what I say. Listen, now, first of all, I'm going to need more money on my food stamps. Because this $189 is not enough. I'm going to need at least $230. Yeah, about $230. Yes, that's not much. And listen. Yes, you can work something out. And these little government funds that you're passing out, I'm going to need more minutes. And I'm going to need you to find a way to get me some internet access so I can get on Facebook. And Instagram and Twitter. Yes? And I'm going to need a session at your house. I'm going to need a session at your house with at least a bike rack in the front so I can put my scooter. Yes? And a walk-in closet. And at least 2 flash screen TVs for me and the baby I'm carrying, that's yours. Obama Jr., that's what I'm going to name it. I don't give a fuck if it's a girl or a boy, I'm naming it Obama Jr. I don't give a fuck. Now, so, that's, you're getting me assassinated. Are you serious? You the president, what are you talking about? You are crazy. Really, bitch? Say you swell. Anyways, I'm not here to argue with you. But listen, you need to fucking make up your motherfucking mind, because I will be calling your ass back in 15 motherfucking minutes, Mr. Obama. And I will go on Facebook and I will put that, you fucking ain't got me pregnant last night. I'm a day pregnant. Well, 19 hours to be exact, Mr. President. Whatever, I ain't got time for this. But anyway, bye. Hello, Michelle? I told you I did not have to lie to you about anything, girl. Now, that's your business now. If he asked you how you find out, you did not talk to me. Now, me and your deal is still on, right? Our agreement still on? Yes. All right. Thank you, girl. You already know, girl. We still got to stick together. Yes. All right, bye, fish.
I do apologize for the audio quality, but that's what happens when you have to scrape stuff from the web and then upload it.
he took down his video very fast, the one where he went out and got in that little car. Man, that was priceless. That little bitty kid's car, he jumped in, he goes, y'all get out of the way, I'm running you bitches over.
Yeah, I wasn't quick enough on the on the hunt. I should have snagged it. The good news is the Obama rant, I did manage to video capture, and it is now available for all to see on YouTube.
I refilmed that one myself. I didn't want to lose that one. I was kind of hoping that the Secret Service was going to kind of give me a rest there for a moment, take the case over. I think they're assembling still, getting ready to come down and get on him. You know, Simon, to date, I mean, he made 9,212 captures. I'm at 9,217. I have never, ever seen anything as wild as that. And I've caught robbers and murderers and terrorists and child molesters and everything under the sun. But I have never in my career seen anything like that. And I have to apologize to my buddy there, Matt. Matt, I am sorry that your eighth capture happened to be this shit.
Hey, my Hong Kong escapades over in Hong Kong, this doesn't even, this outdoes Hong Kong all day.
So, Todd, I have to ask you, what on earth got you involved in this rather strange business?
Like I said, I actually wanted to get into the bail bonds many years ago, but I started doing the private investigation, and then I opened up my company, Elusive Investigations, and started doing skip tracing for bail bond companies. And then I was offered the opportunity to come on board, and the rest is history.
Okay, you mentioned a term that I love, skip tracing. Most people might have heard of the term, but have no clue what it is. How do you set about skip tracing someone?
It starts off with, when you start doing skip tracing, you go over the person's file. You have to go through it through a fine-tooth comb using different databases. And Cobra can tell you, he does a lot of skip tracing as well. It's one of those hit and miss. You have to do a lot of get out on your foot and start, basically hunting and so forth.
It's the largest. You ever play hide and go seek when you were a kid, Simon? It's very similar to that, except we're not just working on your property. Now we have the world as our hide and go seek map. So
Absolutely. Somewhere
on this round thing they call Earth is the person that you seek. Because ain't nobody fell off of it yet. So they're still roaming around here. Job is to find them. And back when I was a kid, I never was the person that went and hid. Because I tried that one time and shit my pants. Because people find you. Yeah, they find you. I mean, you get found. I don't care who you are. You're going to get found. So I, from that day forward, was the seeker and the finder and not the person trying to hide. Which, incidentally, I got something hot off the grill right here I want to share with the other bondsmen that are out there listening. This radio show and this site on Blogger News is set up America's Most Unwanted Fugitives. Listen, if you have a fugitive that you've been seeking and you ran into a dead end, a no pass, if you will email me or simply send me that's probably the best way is to email me, or you can send me a text, or you can call me from any mobile phone by dialing **4COBRA or **wanted. But if you'll send me one of your most difficult files, we will run a story on this site about that fugitive and possibly bring him on, talk about him, bringing it on the air like we're doing now. And you'll be surprised. My Facebook connections alone are in excess of 1,000, and my LinkedIn is probably somewhere around 3,000. That's a lot of resources that are out there. And, in fact, I have so many resources out there that I just got this. If there's any accredited agents who are listening right now, Accredited was just sold to a hedge fund company, and they have raised the rates that you're going to be paying for bail bonds by 2 points. So rather than pay an extra 2 points and lose more money, may I suggest that you contact one of the fastest growing insurance companies in America, which is Palmetto, and you can look them up on the internet at surety3.net and look at the page and look at what all they do. I've never seen a general agent hunt fugitives, but they do. And I don't care if you're paying 0.7% right now, I can beat it. I don't care if you're paying a point. I can beat that. I can beat whatever rate you're paying right now. But if you want to stay with accredited, get ready to pay two more points. Now, listen, you can go to Facebook under William Koberstogs, and you can see some recent posts that I've made to direct you right to this. But this radio show and this site that we've set up is kind of under the acronym COBRA, which are Challenges of the Bail Recovery Agent. So if you have a challenge that's messing with you, and you listen, I'm about helping folks. I help you, and I've done a lot of help across the whole damn world and not even charged for my services. But if you want me to come out, get ready to break out your wallet. But I will try to help you and find your fugitive, hook you with other bail bond agents around the United States, not bounty hunters, guys who aren't licensed. I'm talking about licensed agents, guys who have some meat in the fight. They have an ask to protect, an asset to protect, and so they don't jam you up and get you in a more liable situation than you probably already, you know, are facing by trying to pay off one of these big bonds. So we'll make that commitment to you, help you. And that's how this story came to me, was another agent was having a problem with this messy, just messy feller, and we put him on blast. And even though it took us a little longer because we had some infiltration, as I said, by other bondsmen that was trying to, I guess, serve himself and screw us up, we still caught him in 3 weeks' time, and we will get full remission on our bond. Of course, it was only 3 days left, and we probably would have had him then, but we ran into a little snag. But even with that, and even with the postings that were posted on Facebook to send my agents here, there, and everywhere else, we still got the guy. And one of the guys that I can't say I'm more happy about is Matthew Todd, and he's out of the Melbourne office in Florida. So, listen, if you agents are coming in out of other states, know the law. Hook yourself up with a Florida bondsman, get your fugitive, and get on out of town nice and pretty like with no problems. We're here to help you. And, of course, you know, we don't charge you any more than anybody else does, and we're effective. And, you know, this is a great service. And Simon, I thank you for taking a special interest in it and coming up with the name America's Most Unwanted and doing the radio show and doing the different things that helps get some of these fugitives off the street. Now, in weeks to come, fellow bondsmen, we'll share stories like this or funny. This is our prelude story. It's kind of funny. We wanted to follow up on it. But we'll be covering some topics like pretrial probation. I mean, pretrial release, which is probation because you're put on probation if you take that. And we'll tell you some helpful things to know and kind of get the word out on things like pretrial release and different things that bondsmen have difficulties with. And you know what? It's all power in the people. You want things changed. You want laws changed. You want things to be better, and you want a better platform to do things. This is one of those grassroots where it begins. And there's power in numbers. And you'd be surprised how many people you run into that if you actually they actually knew what you were looking for could help you. And that's what we're trying to put out there, some way to, you know, help the judicial system, you know, get straightened back out with these fugitives that are roaming around. So there's a lot of good things coming down the pike, and hopefully you'll tell your friends and your fellow bondsmen and, you know, check out a few of these websites like surety3.net and get on board with some good companies that support you. And I would challenge anyone, have you ever met the president of your insurance company? Well, I have. So, and I'm with about 8 companies, but only Palmetto will allow you to get that far up the totem pole. And they're beating everybody's prices. I don't write bonds. I only chase them down. So you guys that are paying the points, how would you like to have a few more points in your pocket? And your IRBs and all your data that Todd mentioned, your background checks, your resources that you're laying out for that, Surety 3 takes care of that. They fund that to the agents, no charge. So you need information on your fugitive. They have one of the best intel departments there that give you this information for free. No other insurance company does that. So I would encourage you to check them out And if there's something there that you don't see that you want to see, all you have to do is make your request to Rod Dowson. And I can speak for that gentleman. He started out as a recovery guy, former police officer, and now he is a general agent. And also our friends out in Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, October, we're going to be coming into your state. That's right. Palmetto Insurance Company will be doing business in your state. So it's a very good possibility up there in Yazoo or wherever you at there, Simon. They might be, that's Picayune. There'll be a bail bondsman coming by your door introducing himself to you the month of October. They are actually setting up shop in those three states. That's also okay. Fresh off the press.
Okay. I should point out that I've known Cobra for several years. We actually got involved in a missing child's case, and I don't want to go there.
Yeah, I ain't doing it for them.
Right. But I think it was one Monday or Tuesday morning, the phone started ringing, and it wouldn't stop. Finally, I climbed out of bed and answered the phone, and it was Cobra. He said, "Open your effing front door, or I'll kick it in." With charm like that, obviously opened the front door. But Cobra wasn't traveling alone. And as I recall, you had a guy in chains in your truck.
I did. Sure did. I told the fugitive, I said, we were going to Baton Rouge to tune him in Baton Rouge. And I said, I've got a slight stop to make. He said, "Where's that?" I said, "Picayune." He goes, "I always wanted to go by there." I said, "Well, you're getting your opportunity today, my friend. I'm going to see a guy I never met in my life, and I'm going to go see him." He goes, "Go." So we rode up in Simon's driveway with a dead prisoner in an orange jumpsuit with chains all over him because he was a very dangerous individual. And Simon goes, "Holy shit! He got this guy for real." He couldn't believe it. That's a wake up call. That's a wake up call for you.
Matthew, to make matters worse, it was right around the morning commute time, and all of the neighbors, were driving by and rubbernecking.
I can imagine.
But they don't mess with Simon no more. They stayed at, I came by with my cruiser. I came by last, it's been probably 2 years ago, with my cruiser and pulled up in his yard, and I thought the mailman was going to take out the damn oak tree. They thought Simon was getting arrested again. And but nobody in that neighborhood don't mess with Simon. Simon's got friends that are gangsters and hitmen and mobsters and attorneys and more attorneys, and now he's got bail bondsmen and bounty hunters and all kinds of shit. Simon has a whole bunch of very, how we say, influential friends that leave him the fuck alone.
Good stuff.
Todd, let's talk about a subject that Cobra mentioned, the pre-trial release. But this has to be an absolute nightmare for the bail bonds world.
It can be, especially if you're looking to bail out that individual. And then it falls through because you got ROR and PCR, which is pretrial release. And, you know, many of times you lose a good bond that way. But that's just the way it is in the system.
Okay, Cobra, your opportunity. As I understand it, pretrial release is essentially where a judge says, you're good to go. So that there is no bond. So that there is no incentive, I would guess, to seek the guy.
It's going to take a whole hour or better to explain the whole process, but I refer to pretrial release. It doesn't per se affect me, because like I said, I don't write any bonds unless I have to do a transfer for somebody, or, you know, it's got to be damn important if I'm going to go sign my name on a bond for somebody. But I call it pretrial probation, because basically what it was designed for, I think the first happenings of it came out of New York in the 60s, and I have to check my notes because I have plenty of them about this subject. But basically it was designed for the indigent, the ones who could not afford bond. It was also designed to lessen, the story that they put behind it was to lessen the jail population so that it could take some burden off the taxpayers by not having to build more jails and bigger jails. And
right.
It was designed for the first-time offenders, similar to ROR, which just let them out, let them go on their own for cognizance. Pretrial probation release basically puts you as a defendant. It's actually a violation of your civil rights, because what it does, it puts you guilty already, right from RIPRO. You will start paying the state a fee each week. You will be piss tested each week, and it wasn't even a drug charge, but you're going to piss test, you're going to pay a fee, you're going to do all these things, even though you pled not guilty, but you're on pretrial intervention, you're going to do all these things. So basically you're guilty prior to being found guilty. And the pretrial folks have figured out a cash cow on this, because it was designed for the indigent. It was designed for the people who had never really had any serious crimes that they could take them out. Well, they're taking out very serious criminals out of jail that can afford a bondsman or can afford to post cash or whatever else would be necessary. They don't need or qualify for pretrial intervention. But pretrial intervention is running up the numbers by letting more people out. And right now, for bail bonds, it's like a .00001 recovery rate. Basically, bail bondsmen don't have a lot of skips. And it doesn't cost the taxpayers a dime when they do have a skip. It's on them. They're either going to pay the money or go find the body and bring it back, one of two. Pretrial intervention, when they skip, it takes more resources away from the fugitive squad, and that's only in that county. Those fugitives, if they're smart, most of them are, move to another county and set up shop over there. And unless they're stopped in a car while they're driving or something stupid, they're picked up, they are still on the lam and running. In fact, there was a big deal up in Jersey where they would go across the river and be in another state, and nobody was even hunting them. They could even wave across the water and look at each other, and nothing they could do about it. And it takes a tremendous amount of resources. So every year, pretrial comes back to the table and asks for more tax dollars. And it is the biggest crook and crock of shit that you've ever seen. And you know what? Bondsmen make a living by taking folks out of jail. And the only reason they're not going to take someone out of jail is they're super high risk, or they have absolutely no money whatsoever. And some bondsmen still work with that indigent crowd. But pretrial has made it sound like all these bondsmen aren't emptying our jail fast enough and all that, and it's a crock of shit. It's all a crock of shit. It's all set up to take taxpayer dollars and, you know, kind of like hide the rabbit and gas the dispersion somewhere else. But we could go into this pretrial deal, but that, in a nutshell, is what you have. It is just another wheel churning, making money, and trying to put the bail bondsman out of business. And if they do succeed in that, there are going to be more fugitives roaming the streets than you can imagine, because nobody is hunting them, because, quite frankly, a lot of people don't even know that they're wanted. They just have a name in a computer. But he could be living next door to you and you not know that the person's wanted because nobody's actively seeking him. So, like I said, it could be a whole show and maybe two shows on pretrial probation. I mean pretrial intervention, which the number one thing I want to put across to you, it is definitely a violation of your civil rights to be put on pretrial intervention against your will. But they do it anyway, and then they make you jump through all these hoops, piss test you, pay money weekly, all these different things. That's a violation of your constitutional rights. If you're before a judge and he says you're on a pretrial, no, judge, I'd rather have a bondsman. With a bondsman, you're going to pay 10% cost of doing business. It's non-refundable. However, that's it. He's not going to put all these dog and pony shows on you. You do what you're supposed to do, make your court appearances, finish your case, and you're free to go. If you're not, if you want to run, now you got a problem. So, you know, consider all that. Unless you are a fugitive want to run, then go pretrial. But people should look into the pretrial thing a little bit harder.
Oh, I certainly do want to. I see it as a double-edged sword. And yeah, it's definitely designed to dispose of the bondsman.
Yes, but it is. Disposes of the citizen's cash too, the taxpayer's cash. Because here's what happened: most of them start a program. I think Broward County a few years ago started out, and they were estimated to be between $1 and $3 million. That's what pretrial would cost them on an annual. And then it went to $5 to $10 million. It'll be $20-25 million before it's all said and done. And you could have built a whole bunch of jails with that. And if you just left it alone, the bondsman would have took care of it. So it's an unnecessary added burden to taxpayers. And it's not only in Florida. It's in many, many states. And it's just, first of all, it's wrong. It's constitutionally wrong. And when the taxpayer starts asking questions about it, they start running and ducking for cover. Because it is the most failed system ever.
Oh, indeed. Matthew.
See, I learned something new myself.
Matthew, I want to go back to Messi for just a moment.
Okay.
I read his rap sheet. He's 28 years old, and the rap sheet started when he was aged 18, I believe. Don't know what he did as a juvenile, because of course that's all sealed. But this guy managed to rack up a glorious 10 pages. So,
and if I do believe, I think that was from 24 to 28. In the 4 years, he amassed the majority of his rap sheet.
Oh,
within those 4 years.
Even better. And so, in a very short time, Messi managed to do a lot of very silly things. I don't believe any of them were violent, but four no shows in court definitely is a bit of an issue. I believe he filed a child endangerment claim that was fraudulent.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's an absolute nutcase. You know, shouldn't he have been locked up years ago?
Well, he managed to get away on a few of the charges. And again, you got to understand, he's got four FTAs. So, I mean, there was no chance of them catching him. He's been on the run for a while. With that being said, I mean, this is one of the guys that – not only is he crazy, but he's dangerous, and that culmination right there makes him, you know, a high priority. He needs to be behind jail quick, and you know that he was probably easily one of my dangerous. I'm not there with Cobra yet. He's over 9,000 captures, and, you know, and this guy only made my eighth, you know, putting behind bars. So there's a big, you know, it wasn't a very easy thing to do, considering this guy was dangerous. But I'm glad Cobra's plan came together and it worked out for the best of us.
Right. Were you there at the actual takedown?
Yes, he fought. He resisted. He did not want to go in. And from looking at his Facebook and the people that were associated with him, who happened to be in that house as well, they were displaying guns. So we knew he had firearms inside that house. We also knew there was a child inside the house as well. So there's a lot of things that we had to worry about, not only our safety, but the safety of, you know, that child that was inside the house, and, you know, trying to basically extract him without, you know, any issues.
They did a bang up job, my friend, because at any time this thing could have went way sideways.
It went south real quick.
Yeah, and also, you know, the police that would not lend support in Melbourne, this happened a couple of counties away, the actual arrest, and he had to be transported several counties back. But in the very county that he was arrested, he has a no-bond hold for that very county, and even though it's not showing anything, you know, real dangers on him, he did beat the monkey snot out of one of his girls, and that's one of the bonds, I do believe, that's being held for him up there. He did have an outstanding warrant for arrest up there,
yeah.
But they would not render aid to us whatsoever. And what I don't understand, and that's another thing, another topic, I guess, another day, but law enforcement somehow or another believes that they don't need to be helping us, but they're supposed to, and a lot of times they don't want to mix it up. And one of the main reasons is you've got so many unlicensed folks that are, you know, still playing the bounty hunter role. A bounty hunter essentially is a non-licensed individual who is out there kicking in doors, sometimes the wrong damn doors, and law enforcement doesn't want to get, you know, hooked up or sideways with them, because then they become part of litigation. But the real appointed agents and the licensed agents that went through vigorous appointment procedures in the state of Florida should be backed up. And law enforcement should be responding to every call just to make sure that they are licensed, appointed agents at that front door. And they actually have more authority than the police. The police can only knock on the door and request the fugitive come and surrender himself at the front door, whereas the agent, the surety agent, the bail bondsman, can actually make entry into that house and get him. So they should work side by side and hand in hand, but for whatever reason, and so many times they'll even question a veteran like myself, and I'll say, listen, in the trunk of your car rolling around someplace is a statute book for the state of Florida, and I dare you to open it, because the first chapter is going to be all about bail bonds, and the whole 903 and 648 is printed right there for you. So if you have any questions as to what we can do or what we cannot do or who we are, it's right there in that book. And did you not have to take that book into an exam room and be examined on that book? B is the first letter in there, so, you know, it's right there. You got A, I don't know what A stands for, maybe Apple, but B stands for bail bonds. Whole section there.
Right. Well, what happened as well is when one of the agents that showed up, the first thing to show up, his name was Paul, and first thing he asked me, he goes, did we call in? Not only, you know, to let him know we're here, and so that way nobody else, like none of the neighbors or whatever, calls the authorities. I said, you don't have to worry about that, because either way, they're not coming. And he just had that look of, like, are you serious?
Yeah. So. Yeah, they weren't coming. In fact, they threatened Paul. They called Paul direct on his phone, and they called me and said, listen, got one of your agents out here that's called us a couple of times. And I said, well, give him aid. He goes, we can't give him any aid. I said, well, I've called the sheriff's office to back you guys up. They can't do anything with that. So we called four counties away, and the officers in that county were serious pissed off that those officers weren't sending out any aid. Even the people in the house are doing, again, 911 hang-ups, and they're not responding. They're not responding. They think it's some kind of joke going on out here, and all they were doing was ploying against my guys trying to figure a way to get away. Now, a bunch of his charges were fighting back with the cops without violence, you know, resisting without violence. So I guess we could probably say that he was resisting my guys without violence, although they wanted to take it to that level. But you have to understand, the five guys that I put on scene there, all of them are some type of martial artist, and a few of them are senseis, which I don't know if you know that terminology, but they're some badass boys. And they basically turned to the other guys that were trying to defend him and said, I don't think you want any part of this. You need to step back. So,
absolutely.
It came together. I couldn't ask for a better deal. I was very nervous at first when I called law enforcement and tried to get a team out there, and they told me they couldn't do it. And then we had to, you know, put together a team. And you understand that these guys have never worked with each other before. They don't even know each other, but they all came from different counties, and they came at my request and came and did a job. And I'll tell you what, my hat is off to each and every one of them. I can't thank them enough. Just, it went down without a hitch. Like you said, there was concern for children in the house. I believe that there was two, but they spotted one. And the night that we hit the house, the guy managed to get away from us, but the other gentleman in the house had two children in there, one in one room and one in another room, and he was hiding underneath the bed. Now, tells me that he may have a warrant or whatever, but see, we're not law enforcement, so we can't be running him. He's not our guy. We got to let him go no matter what he did. So, you know, a daddy that would put his children in the middle of some shit like that, and it happens all the time, it's just unsavory at best. I mean, it's just, it's really, really bad. Listen, if you're a grown-ass man and you want to go out here and rob and thieve and shoot drugs and do pills and do all things that you do, be a man, step up and face the damn, face whatever it is, and don't take this home to your family and have your family jeopardized in the middle of it. That goes out to all you damn fugitive pussy-ass bitches out there.
Exactly.
Actually, I was just about to make that comment. You know, if you're doing something bad, you know, make sure that you're not surrounded by women and children.
don't pull a Bin Laden. I mean, you know, that was the damnedest shit. I'm U.S. Navy, and I salute my former U.S. Navy buddies and the SEAL teams. And, you know, when they went in to get that prick, he was like 6'5", and what did he do? He grabbed the little 5-foot woman to use her as a bodyguard to hold her up in front of him, and they ended up shooting him in the forehead. So if that gives you any idea, I mean, you know, don't pull a Bin Laden, you know, lay it down, surrender yourself, chicken shit.
Okay, I think we're just about out of time, but I would like I'd like you both to offer some closing comments. Matthew, I'll start with you.
Okay. like I said, Cobra, been doing this for longer probably I've been alive. And with that being said, you know, I hope to one day get up to where he's at, you know, and I'm doing whatever I can and learning from the best. And like I said, this field, bell bondsman, you know, it's not for the weak, it's not for the weary. You have to have a good gut instinct and a willing to not only put yourself on that line, but, you know, make sure that everybody around you is safe at all times. And with that being said, my hat's off to Cobra, and he's probably one of the best that I've ever worked with and probably will ever work with. So.
Cobra.
Man, I don't know, man, what you can say after somebody tell you all that. Appreciate it. Nobody told me my ass. Sorry, you know, sure. Hey, listen, it's very true. Listen, guys out here in this business that do this every day and, you know, not want to be, you know, bail jump recovery guys or whatever the hell they are, this is, you know, greatest respect for Dwayne Chapman and his family, anybody, even my partner here, Todd, that you know, he got 8 captures. I got 9,000. Whoopee shit. Here's the deal. To go wrong on one capture, I've had 7 of my closest agents shot and killed in this line of duty and risked their lives to grab up fugitives and stuff. And things ain't quite what you see on TV all the time. But I'm like this. If you went and caught one, by God, if you got out of a warm bed with a nice-looking woman and went out in the middle of the night to go chase one of these pieces of shit, you a good guy, and I call you brother. I don't care if you got one or bunches. Now, I take my hat off to guys like Papa. Papa was one of our grandfathers in the bail bond industry, and the gangs came after him many times, and they finally blew him up and killed him with a car bomb. But he had already reached about 12,000 fugitives in his career. And, we all can be guys, and we all can, stumble and meet that fatal moment. So I just say to all of them out there, be careful. Keep your head up. Thank you all for doing a good job, and I appreciate you. And if you need any help and I can ever assist you, I'll be glad to assist you. And also take a look at charityfree.net and see if I can save you money with that insurance company. And if I can, good. That means you can pay me more when I catch one of them elusive guys or flip it over the pod. Elusive investigation.
Okay.
Together.
All right.
Make money.
Before we close, I can't resist the temptation to play some music. Today's program was about America's most unwanted, Roland Joseph. And I just happened to be friends with John Ford of the Straubs. And I think we should listen to 1 minute of his great composition, Heavy Disguise. That's enough of it. But I just couldn't resist. I mean, watching the videos of Roland, Heavy Disguise, it just sounded so appropriate.
Sounded like that was way before my time, brother.
Right. I didn't want to say it.
Okay, I'm older than you guys.
I heard a lot of music, but I ain't never heard nothing like that.
Okay, gentlemen, let's wrap this up, and maybe we can do it again next week.
That's what I'm talking
about. Sounds good.
All righty. Okay, until next time, this is everyone at bloggernews.net wishing all of our listeners a happy, healthy, and safe week. And don't let Cobra kick your door in. Until next time, this is Simon Barrett. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.